I wanted to speak about Taiva today. And I wanted to speak about it in a certain sense that will try to affect everybody here, but albeit in different ways. I think everybody's going to get different things out of this. You need Taiva. That's the first thing. You need Taiva. Without Taiva, without a true desire, there will be no enjoyment in your learning, and there will be no push for you to do more than what you're used to. You'll never grow or succeed in life without a taiva to do more, without a taiva to do certain things. But on the other hand, while that taiva is there for you to utilize the best things out of it and to do great things with it, terrible things can happen through taiva. That if you have that taiva and you misuse it, then you can destroy yourself and everything about you. You can really ruin yourself with it. And what we're going to try to do is try to explain first where taiva could be used for good and then subsequently used for bad in the same vein. And from there, we're going to try to explain how to try to attempt to curb your taivas, your own desires to be able to make yourself a better person. Now, I don't normally speak about the Parsha exclusively when we do a Musar Shmuz. I usually relegate that to the Parsha Shmuz or whatever it is. But it happens to be that this subject is so ingrained in the Parsha that it has to be brought out. I'm not even speaking about the end of the Parsha that deals with taivas achila, what you can and what you can't eat, the concept of timtum alev, of eating something that is improper is going to affect your system and going to make you into somebody that you're not. That's something for another time, and that's a true statement in and of itself. That's just not what we're going to concentrate on. Right before, and it's connected in a way, right before what the Parsha goes to, what you're allowed and what you're not allowed to eat, we hear about Nadav and Aviv. We aren't told very much about the two sons of Aaron. We're told that they were killed b'korba sam lifnei Hashem, that's in Parshas Achrimos, that they came up in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, details are sketchy. All the details are sketchy. Did the fire already come down from Shemayim? Or did they do their act and cause the fire to come down from Shemayim? That's Machlokas Rishonim. What exactly did Nadav and Aviv do that was so wrong? That also is Machlokas, even though the Pasuk says clearly that they brought an Esh Zara, something that they were not commanded to do. Nonetheless, the Rishonim have a field day with how many different Chatoyim they could rack up on Nadav and Aviv's count and how many things they could have possibly done wrong. But let's understand this from a simple standpoint and then go into the details as we go on. Nadav and Aviv thought they knew better. Whatever it was they thought they knew better, they thought that they were thinking something that's better than what Moshe and Aaron were thinking or whatever it was. They walked into either the Kodesh or the Kodesh HaKadoshim and they took either the Ketores or a regular fire and they started a flame that should not have been done. That should not have been done. Chazal literally brought themselves into conniptions trying to figure out how many things they did wrong. There were so many things there. They weren't married. They had no children. They weren't planning on having any children or getting married. They drank wine. They didn't ask Moshe Rabbeinu for permission to do so. They were mor halacha bifnei rabbim. They brought a strange fire. They brought it without permission. They brought it in the wrong area. Everything you can think of. The Kli Yakar lists 8 chatoyim off the bat, just 8 of them, and puts them all together and comes up with a nice pshat to be able to understand it. The Medrash seems to have about 16 reasons for what Nadav and Aviv did, for what they were doing, and what was wrong about everything. But the real question was, what was the ikker behind their thought process? What was the real, the siba behind everything that they were thinking, and what were they doing? The Nitzutze Shimshon. You might have heard me mention his name before. Rosh Shimshon Yastrapolia, who's a Mekubal who lived about 350 years ago, says that Nadav and Aviv's neshamos were from the highest level of Gan Eden. I've seen that quoted from the Megali Amukos. I've seen it quoted from Kabbalistic sources, which I guess would indicate more the Zohar, but I haven't seen it there and haven't really searched. But it seems that Nadav and Aviv's neshamos, their souls, were above Moshe and Aaron's, which is also hinted to in Rashi himself, that their neshamos were greater than Moshe Rabbeinu's neshama and Aaron's neshama, Aaron HaKohen's neshama. Their sin could not have been simple. It couldn't have been. It's impossible for these people on their level to sin as greatly as they did and as much as they did. It's impossible. It can't be that way. So what was it? What was going on? So I'm going to posit a theory. My first one is like this. Nadav and Abihu were humble people. And my theory, I think, can be proven from the fact that they did not say anything out loud. They may have felt that Aaron and Moshe were doing something wrong, but they did not want to say anything to Moshe and Aaron. These are people who, although their neshamos were greater, they were still the sons of Aaron, considered the sons of Moshe because they learned at Moshe Rabbeinu's feet. Yet they did not want to say anything that they felt was wrong in Moshe and Aaron's name. According to the Rishonim, that their fire brought the fire down from Shemayim, then you see clearly that they were doing something correct. There was something that was right, even though they were killed from it. There was something correct about what they did. The fact that Chazal say that there were more halacha bifnei rab, and they paskin in front of the Rebbe, and they didn't ask permission, seems to indicate that they were too scared to ask or say what they felt was right. And they didn't do it out in the open. Remember, all of Klal Yisrael was standing in the chutzar of the Mishkan or around the Mishkan. All of Klal Yisrael was there. They were all there to see the fire come down and for Aaron to be chosen. Aaron put out his hands and had just done Birchas Kohanim by all the people, or was about to do Birchas Kohanim by all the people. So everyone was there. They didn't stand in front of everybody and bring the fire. They went inside, possibly even to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, where they couldn't be seen by anyone, in order to bring this fire, which they felt needed to be brought. Whatever the reasoning was, which is a little bit beyond this, Nadav and Abihu had a taiva, a drive, to not for kavod, let's say, but a taiva to be the ones that brought the fire down from Shemayim. That taiva stems out of their drive to be the best. It's interesting. You see brother combinations everywhere throughout the Chumash. Sometimes bad. You'll see it as Cain and Hevel, Esav and Yaakov, Yitzchak and Yishmael. You'll see it as that. And then you'll see these combinations of brothers that are good. You'll see the combinations of brothers where the Shvatim obviously went through, even though there was a little bit of an issue. You'll see things. I've also found it really interesting that it's very difficult for people to say the words Nadav and Abihu and not have Dasan and Aviram come out of their mouths. And I find that to be interesting for two reasons. Number one, their names do somewhat sound alike. Dasan and Nadav are close enough. It's got a nun and a bez in there. And Aviram and Avihu obviously has some type of indication that's good. But from what it seems, Dasan and Aviram were these evil people, and Nadav and Avihu were these great tzaddikim. It seems interesting that their names were so similar to one another. Again, I don't know. I think that the reason why Dustin and Aviram became the people they became is because they pushed each other. We know there were fights between one and the other, but they pushed each other to become worse and worse and worse. Sometimes the wrong people, the people that you shouldn't be hanging out with, when you're around them, it makes you into a worse person. See, on my own, I think I would be good. I think I wouldn't get into the trouble that I'm there. Because that guy's with me, I'm doing what he's doing. I'm just following along with him, and bad things happen right at that moment. I don't mean to. It just automatically happens. That's what it seems was the issue with Dustin and Aviram, pushing each other in the wrong way. Nadav and Avihu, it seemed to somehow work out well. They pushed each other to become great, not like Elazar and Itamar. Elazar and Itamar were also their brothers, and Elazar and Itamar were obviously also brothers with each other. But somehow there was a connection between Nadav and Avihu, and the way that it's described from the Nitzutzei Shimshon, it's connected in their neshama. They were connected to one another, in which they pushed one another to become greater and to become better. They had a drive. And each one of them said to each other, come on, you can do more than that. They pushed each other further and further and further, and that was great. It worked out unbelievably well for them. They were able to get to a level on Har Sinai that no one else was able to get to. Moshe was there, Aaron was there. Either Nadav and Avihu were above the Shivim Ziknei Yisrael, or they were below the Shivim Ziknei Yisrael, but they were for sure separated from Elazar and Itamar, their brothers, and from the rest of Klal Yisrael. There was clearly something there that pushed them, that drove them to go a little bit further. And call that their desire for greatness, their drive, their taiva to be connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When they saw an opportunity where they could get closer to Hashem, where they could bring themselves as close as you possibly could to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by bringing a fire that only they knew they should bring, which they may have been right about. It could have been correct had they gone about it the right way, in the right fashion, by asking the right questions or by saying it to the right people. They saw it, they couldn't hold themselves back. It's so strange that there was no talking. Everybody was silent at the time, waiting for the fire to come down. And they did that little look to one another. And they went in together and brought the fire together. Together, not one of them and the other one was there. They brought it together, a fire that shouldn't have been brought. It's mamish as if they were sharing their own minds together. They were thinking in the same vein, that Achdus could not have been greater. There was nothing greater than that. They pushed each other to the point where they did. They became as close as you possibly can get to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It just happened through death. They did it. But their taiva drove them further than what their human boundaries could allow them to go. It's almost as if it's an apologetic sin. Chazal are throwing things in there, so to speak, that just thrown in. Every one of them can be translated in a different way, but all toward the same direction. They were drinking wine. What that means is their minds were not fully clear at the moment. It means they were clouded. They so badly wanted to bring a korban to a HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they couldn't think straight. That's what it meant. When it says that they didn't ask Moshe, but they didn't go around, their taivas drove them to go so bad. They wanted to just bring it. They couldn't even ask the question. They couldn't even ask. They were just more halacha b'shnei rabbim and went ahead and did it. Bringing the Eish Zara in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, doing something that wasn't commanded. They wanted so badly to do it. And we know you're allowed to bring things through a Kal V'chomer. Moshe Rabbeinu added on a day to Har Sinai from a Kal V'chomer. Moshe Rabbeinu separated from his wife because of a Kal V'chomer. We understand there's a concept of learning something and figuring it out for yourself. And another one of you probably did this. They pushed themselves further and further and further. And that's what taiva does. Taiva can literally drive you out of the world. Drive you out of the world. In this case, they wanted so badly to be near HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they became near HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they were put in Shemayim and Gan Eden to the highest level, whatever it is, and they're as close as you could possibly could get. The real problem, the real issue, the Pasuk says it clearly. It's even asked by the Rishonim, why are we asking what they did wrong if the Pasuk says what they did wrong? How could you say anything else if the Pasuk says it very clearly? The pshat is, they did something that they weren't commanded to do. Their drive to be great, to do great things, and to become a great person, which they thought would bring them closer to Hashem, was not what we should be doing. And that's what killed them. Okay, I don't think anybody here is going to be bringing fiery korbanos in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's not our taiva, and that's not our issue. That's not where we are. But we have to learn how to curb that taiva before it becomes too great for us. Halavai, we'd have a taiva of something like this. But let's understand it like this. A person wants to be great. Everybody here wants to be great. They just have their own versions of what great is. Everybody has their own mindset, their ideas in their head of where they want to go and what they want to be. You might have the goals straight in your mind. You might have them a little bit dormant. But everybody has their own version of greatness and how they're going to get there. That's without a question. And people see it. You can see it in anyone. Just by looking at them, you see they're striving. Sometimes that drive does not include the things that I would like them to include. For example, my strive for greatness, I'm not going to say me, a person striving for greatness may not include chakras. I don't think, says the guy, that going to chakras is going to help me in my eventuality of becoming a great person. Well, if you don't think that way, then of course, why go to chakras? That's not part of greatness. That's just something that somebody else wants you to do. That's the way it goes. Sometimes you don't think that learning that extra half hour or hour is going to help you. It's not going to bring you to the next level. So why bother? Why should I do it? Well, because other people are doing it, the peer pressure involved. I don't think that learning at that moment is going to help me at that time, so therefore I'm not going to do it. I think this, whatever you're doing now, is going to help me become greater. So therefore, you choose, you pick and choose certain things to be able to get involved with. You just got to be careful. Because at the same time that you're picking and choosing, there are taivas that are involved that sort of cloud your mind. And you think to yourself, you know what's going to make me great right now? Checking up something online. If I just watch this show, or if I just do a little bit more research, or if I just do something else, that is going to make me great. That's what's going to make me a better person. That taiva of wanting to do something gets thrown in there, and it's thrown in with all of your drives and desires, and you can convince yourself that this is my path to greatness. By doing this, this is only going to make me better. It's not going to bring me down. That's what we have to curb. Now, what happens when you're in that throw? I'm going to give the example, an example of TV shows, and then go on from there, try to bring ourselves on a higher level. We'll say that's the lowest level that a person can be on, and then go on from there. Okay, I just realized this. I had no idea, but I just realized this. I know it's been there for a while, and I know people have done this well. I'm so shocked by this. It hit me during Pesach, maybe because I saw it with my own eyes, and I hadn't seen it before. I saw a guy find out about a certain TV show. It's a very addictive TV show. Nothing wrong with it per se. They tell me it's very clean. I'm sure it's very clean. But they say a TV show. And they wanted to watch all of it over Pesach. So he did it. 5 seasons of one TV show. He got all of them from the Skokie Public Library, this hotbed for taiva, right? Goes over, gets all 5 seasons on DVD, and then watches every single one. Continuously. Now, I knew this is possible. I just didn't know it was possible. He watched 20 minutes after 20 minutes after 20 minutes after 20 minutes after an hour, because, you know, the finale has to be like an hour, right? And 20, 20, 20, 20, and he kept going. And like for 3 hours, he had gone through and he had gone through. He's like, oh man, that was the greatest first season. I'm like, I can't believe you just did that. Now, before we go on, I just want to indicate this is not my brother or any of my brothers, okay? This is not my kids, this is not my wife. I don't want you thinking like, oh, it's my dad. No, it's not anybody that I'm related to. It's somebody that I know. I just couldn't believe it. Like, I knew there are seasons out there. I knew you could buy whole DVDs. I remember when the Simpsons DVD came out and somebody bought it for me as a present, and I cracked it in front of them because I was so happy to break my taiva, and then I watched it anyway. I didn't. I understand that there's such things out there. I get it. I understand that. But to actually do it, to go from one to the other. So I told the guy, all right, first, you're an addict. That's number one. I said, number two, here's what you can do. Just watch one. There was no way I was going to get him to go cold turkey. This is like heroin. There's no way that I was going to get him to stop completely. It's not going to happen. He's not going to do it. Just watch one and then stop. Go somewhere. Just do something and then come back. And he's like, you don't understand. They're connected to one another. All right. The end of one leads into the beginning of the other. You can't stop. I'm like, they do it every week on TV. Every week they do this. They do it with commercials. They do it all the time. You know, it's like all exciting. Like, and you should know, boom, it's a commercial. Just no, which is why everybody likes this DVD, because nothing stops. It just keeps going. I get that. So make your own commercials. Stand up and go, do you want soap? I have soap. And that's fine. You can figure it out on your own. You don't need the actual commercials. You don't need the straight, just stop. Just get yourself up and walk away. I'm hoping, this is what I said in parentheses, because you can't say this straight out. I just parenthetically told him, I'm hoping that that will make you realize how pathetic it is that you're watching 3 hours straight of television. 3 hours straight. By the way, I'm even undercutting it. There's no way it was 3 hours because you watched an entire season in one day. So I don't. You can do the math. I'm not good at math, but 20 plus 20 plus 20 plus 20, it's not going to work in 3 hours. I don't know how many hours it was. It was a pathetic amount of hours. Pathetic amount of hours. It was probably the amount of hours that he spent learning in an entire week in yeshiva. That was the amount of hours that he spent in one day watching this TV show. But he was my Ian. This is definitely the Ian. See, whatever it was, I told him. He did it. It was hard. It was hard. He said, the first time I had to do two. He had to do two. And then he stopped a little bit. And then he did one. Then he won. Baruch Hashem, he's still on season three. Still on season three. He did not finish all of them altogether. He's still on season three. He's able to, whatever, and pull himself back. And maybe he can get himself to wean off just a little bit more. Again, that is a pure, pure indication of Taiva just grabbing a hold of you and you just can't stop. You literally can't stop. It's like the Pringles thing straight. You can't. Once you pop, you know, you can't do it. That's, you have to break it in a smart way. And that's a lower level. I've known people who have gotten addicted to learning. And it sounds ridiculous. The people who couldn't stop learning even when they needed to. Even when their family needed them or their wife asked them for help or something, they couldn't stop themselves from doing one thing or the other. And that in and of itself, it sounds like such a strange taiva. Like, what's the problem? At least he's learning, right? At least he's doing that. But even that, you have to understand, there's a yetzer hara involved in that. The yetzer hara is trying to make it show to other people that your Torah learning is not affecting you, that you're not a better person because of it. Just because you're learning all day long, that does not mean that you're better. In order to become a better person, you have to do what's normal for you in that position at that time. And that taiva can drive you in the wrong direction. And that's why it's so good to have someone on the outside, a chavrusa, a rebbe, anything, that can tell you, no, that's not normal. That's not what you should be doing. I know it sounds great to finish all of Shas in 6 days. That's not going to happen. You're not going to do that. So don't, and work on something else. You need that sober influence that's going to be there, who's able to take you out of your reverie and take those taivas out from you and say to you, here's what you should be doing and here's what you shouldn't be doing. That's the idea behind it. And even in a good way, where taiva is being utilized to its utmost in the fullest extent, that still can kill you. It still can take you out of this world, right, if you're not treating it correctly. And that's really the path that you want to go on. You want to take another one? There are people that are addicted, right, to, let's just say, to having fun, to having a fun time. If you've ever seen anything, like the way that it works, how endorphins work in your system, and how things work in your brain, and how you're excited, and then it goes down a little bit and you get excited again, and the way your brain works and the way it's connected, it's amazing to see what constant taiva and constant having fun will do to a person. It's not for nothing that a $1 billion industry was made based on roller coasters that last for 45 seconds. It's unreal. You know how people say, like, oh man, if only the roller coaster should be, if it could be like 15 minutes. If it was 15 minutes, you would hate it because you can't handle that amount of fun straight for 15 minutes. No one can. You can't keep going. You just can't do it. It's an amazing science. It's amazing how they figured out how much a person can handle and then want more, still want more. It's amazing. As an example, okay, when I was 16 years old, I went to Great America, Six Flags Great America, and I went on something called the Shockwave. It's no longer there, okay? It's like seven loops and whatever it was. There was no one there because I think it was raining a little bit and whatever. I went seven times in a row, okay? Seven times in a row. Oh, for the days of the week, for Shabbos. So I went there. The seventh time, I couldn't handle it anymore. I had no desire to go on the Shockwave ever again after that seventh time. And I didn't. And then they tore it down because of me. And now it's gone. No desire, no drive. There was nothing. Seven, I wanted it, yes, for a little bit. It was really good in the first and the second and third time. And after a while, you're ready to throw up. You don't want to be there anymore. It's just not there for you. That's why you have to break your taiva. Break it. Figure out a way. Do something. And it's more important to realize what is a taiva and what isn't. Get yourself used to it and figure out, what are you really looking for? What is my real plan? And what is part of that plan? And what is a hindrance to that plan? It doesn't mean you can never do anything that's a hindrance to that plan. I'm still going to play a sports game here and there, right? Because even though that's not necessarily part of my grandiose plan of becoming the best person that I can be, nonetheless, you know what? That helps me. That eventually will bring me back to the right course. I need that for my well-being and for my health and for other things like that. You need to understand what's good, what's bad, what is a taiva, what isn't a taiva. It's not going to happen overnight. You just have to start now. And when you find yourself in the midst of taiva, when you find yourself in the midst of something that you know should not be happening, in a good or a bad way, and you see yourself there, stop. Put a pause on whatever it is. Stop. Just take a walk. Go outside for a little bit. Think about what's going on. You can do that now. It's sunny. You can walk outside, take a little walk, and then come back and say, okay, is this really the best thing for me, or is this a taiva? What is it going with? What am I going with over here? That should be the method. Okay, you don't want to say, if none of you would have done that, then they would... You don't say stuff like that. That's not where we're going with this. None of you had a different method, and there was a reason why the Torah put that in as a lesson for us and for us to understand from them what they did. And there was entirely different reasoning on what they had. But for us to extrapolate, for us to take out and to darshan from what they had done, here's the lesson. The lesson is, see where you are, know when to stop, and know when it's something that you can get involved with and that's not. And if you fail, don't worry about it. There's tomorrow. You work on it the next day. And if it doesn't work that day, you work on it the next day. You do the next thing. Whatever it is, you keep building yourself up until you can perfect yourself. And we all want this, to where you recognize everything that's a taiva and everything that's not. Then you'll realize when you're on that level, you can see that. I haven't gotten there, and I'm hoping to get there soon. But you recognize that that's the level where now you realize, okay, now I know how to choose correctly. I know what to really make of it. Stop with that, guys. Have a good rest of Second Seder.